Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday postcast. I'm Muddy Playle, joined in the studio by Graham Rodway. We have Keith Melrose on the line as well as Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power. We're looking ahead to this weekend. It's going to be a cracker with Enable reappearing in the Coral Eclipse, but there's so many other meetings and lots of other cracking contests to get stuck into. So let's start off with the feature meeting then at Sandown. Well, I'd say it's the feature meeting anyway. Batash won this opening Coral Charge back in 2017, so potentially we could be seeing another sprinting superstar here. Not sure what the lads think. So it's the 150, it is the Coral Charge, a Group 3 over 5 furlongs. Now, G-Rod, I'm keen to ask you about Sandown's 5 furlong course, because a lot of people get drawn in by the draw. They say you need an inside draw. It's quite a tricky track to get right, isn't it?
One of my favourite old systems was just go there and back one and two and do the forecast. But it doesn't seem to have been the case so much in the last couple of years.
No.
I remember arguing this away on Twitter about a year ago, saying it was still as strong as ever, but I don't think it is anymore. It seemed to be winning from all over the course. So I wouldn't be too worried about it, to be honest, the draw. Okay. This looks like a dog race to me. You know when you get like a sort of 264-metre dog race at Kinsley or somewhere like that?
I do know what one of those is like.
It's like a, you know, sprint dog race where basically whatever flies out the traps first usually wins because there's only one bend.
Okay.
And I thought that this had the look of that because there's a bunch of horses in here that are quite slowly away for 5 furlong horses. I've had a look over the videos and... I mean, every time I watch that Sergei Prokofiev, you know, he's always in last after a furlong. You know, he doesn't seem to have that much early pace. Maybe that's the way they want to ride him. We'll find out. But I'm sure he's going to be at the back. Muffmere, last time out at Epsom, for a horse that's running over 5 furlongs all his career, was extremely tardily away and was always on the back foot. So I could see him being on the back foot quite early. And the same could be said for Pocket Dynamo, who, to me, just lacks a little bit of early pace there. I can see him being under the cosh early. So as a result, that's like kind of, what, we only got 6 or 7 in it, have we? That's almost half the field that I've got out the back after a furlong. And I think that sets up nicely for my selection, which is the one that has got loads of early speed in the race, Caspian Prince. Now, I know he's drawn on the wide outside in 8, but with all those falling out the traps early, you know, he might be able to ping the lids and get out on that far side rail. I mean, he's coming up against the more sexy types, but he's the sort of horse that I like to back, as I was explaining a few weeks ago. You know, he's the sort of horse that isn't going to capture the punter's imagination. He's always going to go off a nice price because he's a, what, 10-year-old, is he now? 10-year-old gelding, you know, coming in against the likes of, what, Improving Garris and Sergei, Kepfer Ryan, and, you know, all the sexy types are going to take up all the market. But Caspian Prince has actually got some of the most solid pieces of form in this race. And I think the race is going to set up nicely for him, you know, because he is a front runner. And as I've already explained, there could be a bunch of these out the back early. I think Garris will be up there. I mean, he looks fairly speedy, although he wasn't able to lead last time out of York. I think 2 or 3 were in front of him and he just outstayed them towards the line. But he's drawn out wide in 9, so he's going to be wide of Caspian Prince. He'll be doing well to get across with him. The biggest danger might be Curious for Henry Candy, who's got a great record over the course and distance. I think he's won there twice and was unlucky the other time.
1-2-1.
Yeah, well, should have won the other time as well. Was beaten by Leodis Dream and reversed that form last time. The only thing is this is one of these weird ones where you've got the trainer saying, oh, Curious must have 5 furlongs and soft ground. But his best performance on racing post ratings is on good to firm ground, you know. So, but the one thing Henry Candy did say after that victory last time is must have soft ground. And Curious isn't going to get that this time. So it'll be interesting to see whether he actually runs Curious or not. I think she'll be a big player if she goes on the ground, which her form suggests she will, but her trainer suggests she won't.
Yeah. Lots of interesting tactical angles there. Keith, what do you think? Because I was quite impressed with Garris when he won the Westo, and obviously the form's worked out well with Shades of Blue winning a listed race in Maison Lafitte, and Soldier's Call ran a really good race, I thought, in the King's Stand.
Absolutely, and you have to make him the rightful favourite, I'd say, and he's the sort of horse as well that Charlie Hills will probably do well with.
Yeah.
You would have to put him very high on your list. I much prefer him to Sergei Prokofiev. He never doesn't look that straightforward to me. And hasn't actually achieved quite as much either as Garris. I agree with Graham to a large extent. I think this is a race that could go to any of them. It's something's got to win it almost in a sense. And I do agree with him on the pace angle with Caspian Prince. I think even from eight, he will get to the front. My doubt and my worry about him is that all his form's on sharp five Fs, you know, a stiff five at Sandown. I would worry about him getting home just, but I think he will run a really good race. I would put up a tentative suggestion for Pocket Dynamo. If you look at the Nottingham form with Garris, he possibly shouldn't be four times the price, and he's only three himself. He could be the type that's still improving, and you know, there's been excuses for his two runs since. Not going to say he's a bet of the year or anything, but I just thought he'd maybe been slightly underestimated.
Yeah, nearly won the Norfolk, didn't he, against Shang last year. So he's clearly got that speed and that talent, whether he can reproduce it as a three-year-old. Niall, we'll go back to Garris because I presume he is our favourite.
Yeah, we have joint 3-1 favourites himself and Sergei Prokofiev. Muttmir 6-1, Caspian Prince 7-1, Pocket Dynamo 10-1, Rumble in the Jungle 10-1, Curious 10-1 and 25-1 bar.
Okay, are you in agreement with either G-Rod or Keith?
Not particularly. I was kind of torn for a bet myself between Muttmir and Garris, mainly because of the price. I'm going to side with Muttmir. If they're both the same price, I'd probably back Garris, but I just feel Muttmir is probably the better value. He's, 6-1 or so. He ran really well in the dash last time, showing he retains all of his ability. He was a good second in this race last year, and I'm not really sure it is a lot stronger. There's a lot of sexy types in here, but yeah, it's just a tricky test, this 5 furlongs at Sandown. So, like, the likes of Garris is having his first run here. Sergei Prokofiev has been disappointing recently. Muttmir handles the track. His trainer's in really good form. I think his run to form is about 70% recently. I'm just with the experience. I'm just going to side with Muttmir.
Okay, moving on to the 225. It's the Coral Challenge Handicap, one of the first juicy handicaps that punters can get stuck into. Plenty of old favourites in here. Now, I'll just run us through the betting to start off with.
So Greenside is our 5-1 favourite, History Writer is 6-1, Fire Serendipity is 6-1, Key Victory 13-2, Mojito 7-1, Caran 8-1 and 11-1 bar.
Yeah, before we came in here, G-Rod, I familiarised myself with a couple of the top contenders, and you fancy one at a bit of a bigger price?
Yeah, I do fancy one at a big price in this. Escobar, trained by David O'Mara, finished second in the race last year behind Toga Duterte. I know he's been completely out of form recently, but there is one piece of form towards the end of last season at Ascot, where I think he was beaten 3/4 of a length by Sharjah Bridge. Mm. And if he runs to that sort of level, he's going to be a massive player off what is a hugely reduced mark. He's going down in the weights. David O'Mara is having the season of seasons, isn't he? You know, the best season he's ever had. And it's quite interesting that he's booked at Drea at Zeni to ride. It's not really a combination that you see too often, and one of my favourite jockeys as well. I do like horses that have gone down in the weights and have got course form, particularly over course and distance. And obviously that run last season gives Escobar a massive chance. You do have to forgive a few disappointing runs this season. He hasn't shown as much as you would hope. However, there's no doubt about it, if he comes back to his best, he's a massive player here. And I think this would have been the sort of plan for a while. You know, having finished second in the race last year, you see it happen quite a lot. It happened recently, didn't it, Ascot with in the Royal Hunt Cup. Afak finished, I think, second in the Hunt Cup the previous year, then come straight back without a run. I mean, it's slightly different here, but I do think that connections think, oh, maybe we can get some compensation next year, you know, particularly when the race comes closer. And I think he would have been trained for the race. So I expect to have the cigars out about furlong out. Escobar.
Okay. I mean, G-Rod mentioned course and distance form, Keith. There's plenty in here with that. History Writer is a horse I absolutely love. I thought he was really impressive last time at the track. Vias and Serendipity, another. But again, who are you keen on? I think you fancy one at a bigger price?
Not especially this one. I had a look at this race for the weekend on Monday, and it looks like a classic example of one of those races where an angle gets really heavily overbet in the week running up. I put up Greenside each way, who was like 9s at the time.
He always seems to get really strongly back, that horse, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, his record round here is really good. Three of his four best runs on RPRs are over a mile at Sandown, and the one that wasn't was his run last time when he was fourth behind History Writer and shaped really well. He got left far too much to do and did shape better than the result there. As a result of that, I thought when it was sort of 11-2 versus 9s with those two earlier in the week that Greenside was a really solid each-way bet. But I think the angle's been massively overbet now, and I think people are starting to forget the history writer did lots wrong himself that day. He was almost run over the rail at one point. He was far enough back. He pulled hard as well, I think.
And he was really keen, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he came through and won really nicely. And there's only £7 difference between them here. I'm not sure with a more efficient ride that Greenside would even want to reverse that sort of level of form between them anyway. So I think the market's overreacted, and history writer is your likeliest winner.
Yeah, we've spoken about trainers in form. David Menizier, he has been enjoying an absolute purple patch of late. I love backing his horses at Sandown, more of which later. But we'll go over to you, Niall. I mean, can you see more money coming for one of these?
Yeah, potentially. The one I quite like is a fairly big price. It's Petrus for Brian Meehan. Now, he was very disappointing last time in the Hunt Cup. I'm fairly certain you can just blame that on the ground and put a line through it. Prior to that, he'd been really progressive. He won on Lincoln Day, the Silver Lincoln, before winning a competitive Bath handicap. Now, he shaped really well next time at Newbury, travelling very well, though having to come from much further back than ideal off a slow pace. He's actually a pound lower here, and he's better off with the likes of Breeden. And given he's only four and open to more improvement, he's just the one I'm going to side with. He's drawn in seven, which I think is a nice draw in this type of race, and I think it should set up nicely for him. And as I said, he loved the fast ground. He also won his maiden at the track a few years ago, so that's another positive. So yeah, fairly strong fancy for me at the prices. That's Petrus.
Okay, thanks for that. We'll move on now to the 3 o'clock, which is the Coral Distaff, a race for fillies, three-year-old fillies over the mile. Keith, let's first get your view on this race. Quite an interesting horse in Encapsulation. Was with Noel Mead, now been brought over, now trained by Andrew Boulding, and has formed with Pink Dogwood when we last saw her.
Yeah, it is an interesting one because of that form with Pink Dogwood, and because, you know, obviously Boulding getting a horse. It's quite popular at the moment to get horses from even the sort of every yard, Irish yard, Bar O'Brien, because people are thinking that they can improve these horses, and it's really interesting to see Encapsulation having joined Boulding on that basis. I mean, the one I've sort of picked out a little bit at the prices is Hidden Message. Mm. I mean, this isn't probably the strongest race unless Encapsulation really improves on what she showed in Ireland. And this Hidden Message it keeps shaping really well, this horse. It's been given quite a lot to do on a lot of its starts, and I think Sandown with its sort of stiffer finish might really help her. I just hope Oshie Murphy doesn't disappoint her, because as I say, I think she's been left an awful lot to do in a couple of times on her last two starts.
Okay, that's interesting. So Hidden Message for Keith. What about you, G. Ron?
Yeah, interesting Hidden Message, because William Haggis was quite keen to stress that he thought she was a Group 1 filly. He was talking about the Coronation Stakes, and you know, if there's one trainer that doesn't usually get it wrong, then William Haggis would be quite high up on your list. And you know, I do agree with Keith. A couple of starts ago at Ascot, geez, I mean, that was an impossible task from last. But it's quite a little trappy race. I mean, you've got a bunch of trainers in here that have won this race recently, notably Andrew Boulding, who does train the favourite. He won it a couple of years ago with Blonde Me. And I do remember Gosden winning this as well with a decent time, Vita something, Bell something, can't remember what it's called, a few years ago. So it is a kind of race that trainers like to target, and I went through the race and I could almost make a case for a lot of them, you know, like Beyond Reason comes in with a Group 1 form, but it's been slightly disappointing towards the end of last season. I don't know. I was impressed with Encapsulation's last two runs. I watched them on the video. She travels really well. I think that a mile will suit her. And that form last time out was obviously pretty strong. Pink Dogwood is a Group 1 filly. And the third has won since, Tanawa. I'd probably side with Encapsulation, but it would not surprise me at all if most of these won, apart from Main Edition, which is the only one I don't fancy. So there you go. Do what you will. Maybe okay. That Main Edition.
For what it's worth, I quite fancy Encapsulation here. I think she's really, really nice filly, and I think there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of improvement to come from her.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how Andrew Boulding's getting all these horses. You know, all of a sudden he seems to have just blown out of all proportion, you know, and everyone that's moving their horses moving to Andrews. And he had a couple of winners, didn't he? Was it one winner he had at Ascot? But he had Beat the Bank, Go Close, and, you know, he's really on the up at the moment, Andrew Boulding.
I think it was...
is something absolutely astronomical that you just weren't expecting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Richard Hannon level string he's got now.
Yeah, I think the thing is, when he inherited those King Power horses, he wanted a lot of them to hit the ground running so that he was getting the results straight away. And it just seems, the momentum just seems to have keep on sort of building for him. Niall, we'll stick back to this distaff though. We don't want to get too carried away with other things. And encapsulation, she seems to sort of be getting the majority vote at the moment.
Yeah, I can see her going off favourite here. I know she's favourite at the moment. At 5-2, Beyond Reason is 11-4, Hidden Message 5, Muchly 5, Main Edition 11-2, and 14-1 bar. Yeah, me personally, I don't like backing horses after a stable switch. Just straight away, I kind of like to see them do it, see if they've, they've improved. So I just kind of find it hard to recommend backing them. It's similar with Garris in the first race. The one I've actually backed here is Hidden Message, so similar to Keith. I've just always thought she looked potentially high class. I remember seeing her maiden last year, was it at Yarmouth, where I thought she was really impressive. They then sent her off favoured in a listed race at Newmarket in a first-time hood. I'm not sure what happened. She just never fired. Maybe she didn't settle or didn't like the hood or something. It's been left off today, I see. She reappeared this year over a mile at Ascot in the race won by Muchly, but that was a really messy race. There went no pace at all. And both herself and Queen Pair made up a lot of ground from the back. She went to France next time and again ran an encouraging race. So again, that was a messy race too. There seems to be plenty of pace on in this race with the likes of Main Edition. And again, like I was saying earlier, with William Haggis having a string in such good form, I'm just going to side with her at the prices as well.
Yeah, she certainly did have that big reputation after winning at Yarmouth, didn't you? I know G. Rod's mentioned William Haggis thought she was Group 1 filly. There were quotes flying over for all sort of big targets. So let's hope she can build on that Hidden Message in the distaff. Now, we've finally got to the main event. It is the 3:35, the Coral Eclipse, the Group 1 over a mile and two, and the return of Enable. G-Rod, I'm not sure about how you see it, but this season for me, there's just been a little bit of something missing. And if she can win, that'll really set the scene alight, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly would. It's great to see her back, isn't she? One of the real superstars of the turf, particularly over the last two seasons. She's been absolutely fantastic. And I mean, if you go through her form, it is a who's who of Group 1 winners, you know, that she's defeated the likes of a Coronet and, you know, Crystal Ocean and real top class horses, Sea of Class, obviously, in the Arc. And last time out, Magical herself, who reopposes here and cannot beat Enable if Enable is on her best form. But of course, like any pundit worth their salt has to come on here and say really that if Enable is going to be vulnerable, then it is obviously going to be here, because it is a trip that is almost certainly short of her best, to my
eye. She's lost the only time she raced over a mile too.
Yes, to my eye, she is a filly that has got loads of stamina, and that is her strong suit, and grinding away from the two furlongs out, is she going to be fit enough you know, to see off the challengers? That's how I see this race going. I see Frankie having her up there in sort of second or third, just off the lead, kicking two furlongs out. And then the question mark is just how right has John Gosden got her first time up? And the answer to that is it certainly won't be 100%. I mean, she isn't going to be fully wound up for this return, you wouldn't think, because obviously the Arc and a third attempt at that is the main aim. However, her form is far and away better than anything else, and if she is 90% fit, I think she'll win. If she is 80% fit, I think she might win by short head. So it's very, very, very tough.
Yeah.
And especially not knowing exactly sort of how right she is going to be for the test on quick ground over a trip short of her best.
Yeah.
So
hang on, let's just jump to Niall and get some prices. Niall, I know you're a big fan of Magical, and she's actually only rated £2 lower than Enable, but just run us through them.
Yeah, Enable's our 4-5 favourite. Magical is 11-4. Regal Reality 13-2. Telecaster 12. Mustachery 16. Sabeel Prince 20-1. Danceteria 50-1. And Huntinghorn is 66-1.
So we'll go back to you, G-Rod, for a minute.
So you can't back her, really. Can you lay her? You can't really lay her. And what do you want to do against her? You know, I don't think Magical can beat her. I think that the only one that could really potentially beat her is Regal Reality for Sir Michael Stout, who's got absolutely loads to find with Enable, obviously, but is improving. There's no doubt about it. That impressive victory at Sandown last time, the Brigadier Gerard hosed up and thrashed Matterhorn, who won nicely at Windsor the other day, and I'm sure wasn't at his best at Royal Ascot. I think Matterhorn's a pretty smart horse. And the only other one I could see as a danger would be Mustachery, an old mate of mine, who has got potential to improve for a step up in trip. Always very strong at the end of his races over a mile, and does stay a mile and one furlong, so there has to be a chance he might stay this extra distance. So the two Michael Stout horses against her, but I don't really want to see her get beat. I want to see her win.
Yeah.
She's one of the superstars. It's not a betting race for me, it's a watching race. But if I was going to bet, I would back Regal Reality each way and maybe a little on Moustachery each way, but it's not a betting race.
Yeah, I mean, Moustachery has got form over sort of further, hasn't he? I mean, the Gala Stakes, which is run today at Sandown, he won last year over the course and distance. So maybe now as a six-year-old, he just wants that step back and up to
Like we've already said, he is an unfashionable type of horse. He always goes off a good price because he's a six-year-old gelding. You know, he doesn't capture the imagination of punters. So if you're looking for the value, maybe you want to maybe have a go on him.
Yeah, seventh in the Queen Anne last time. Keith, who would you take Enable on with, if any?
Well, I think this race is really interesting because it sings to whichever sort of punter you are. If you could have your firstborn at Enable being fit, what price would she be, lads? 49?
Yeah.
Something like that? So, yeah. And if you can get 4-5 about a horse that buyrates 49 and you've got confidence in John Gosden getting her fit, then that's the sort of horse that you should be laying into because it's a good price. But that's not the way I punt. I would always try to take on a horse that's coming back. Our big target's 3 months away yet. So I would be looking to take her on. I put Telecaster up earlier in the week. I was hoping for 7 winners coming back to Manny Post each way, but we've got the dead 8. We can still have that go now if you want to try and get one in the first 3. Telecaster could still be the best middle distance 3-year-old potentially. He won the Dante in a good style, and the form of that's looking all right now. And we can just put a line through the Derby. He did so much wrong there. Part of it was his own fault. Part of it wasn't.
Are you surprised to see him back this quickly?
It's 5 weeks, so you know I'm not terribly surprised. I'm glad that they've decided to take the chance with him because he's a horse that you could do without the narrative being cast around him. He should be doing what he can to see and show what he is, because as I say, I still think he might be one of the best middle distance 3-year-olds this season. So I'll be really interested to see how he gets on, and I have backed him each way. The other one I was going to mention just very quickly, who I think has been priced dismissively, is Zabeel Prince. He's shown himself really adept at these sort of sit and pounds French races. You know, he won a Group 1 in France earlier, and it's not unknown for the Eclipse to turn into a bit of a race like that itself. It's often quite a small field race. The pace angle here will be determined solely by Ballydoyle, it looks like. There's not much else that's going to make it apart from Huntinghorn, who we assume is there as a pacemaker. So there's a chance that this race will turn into a bit of a sprint, and if it does, the Beale Prince deserves to be shorter than 20, certainly for a bit in the first 3.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on Telecaster. I think he's a really interesting horse. There are obviously a few questions he's still got to answer, but the potential is there, isn't it? And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I love a David Menizier horse at Sandown. I do think Dan's Terror is a massive price. Obviously, he's not good enough on what he's shown so far, and he was third behind Regal Reality in that Brigadier Gerard, but I don't think he enjoyed the run of the race that day. And if I was trying to get a sneaky one at a huge price to sort of fill the third spot, it could well be him. Niall, we'll go back to you. I did mention earlier you're a fan of Magical, and your angle in this is different to the one of G-Rod and Keith.
I like Magical, but it was mainly yesterday, I think, when she was declared. It was 4-1, 9-2 around, so I had a decent each way bet. Like I was saying to you earlier, my thinking with that was that she'd be around 2 on to place. So with the 8 runners, I'm hoping the 8 stand their ground. The each way bet just had very little downside to me. You can call it bad each way a little bit if you want. If Enable isn't 100% fit, then I really think Magical's the one to put it up to her, as she did in America last year. Like, she wasn't too far off, or was she? The downside here is that she might be better with cutting the ground, and she had a hard race at Ascot, but she's been given time to recover, and she took her racing really well at the end of last season, improving with every run. Like, the negatives with Enable are the fact it's her first run on ground, arguably faster than her ideal, over a trip short for best, around a track she's never been on before. Though it's still hard to be really confident opposing her. Just also, she's a 5-year-old filly, and it can just be hard to keep them going. Like, I think it was a Trev started going backwards at 5, or maybe was beaten in the arc at 5 after looking unbeatable at 3 and 4. But yeah, like, I think Magical's well clear of the rest. Like, the likes of Moustache and Zabeel Prince for me are better over shorter trips. Regal Reality could be interesting, and I was trying to give him a life, but I know the Sandown form's worked out nicely, but it's still just miles off the form that Magical and Enable have shown for me. Telecaster, if he could bounce back, would be interesting on that Dante run, but it's hard to be confident about him after Epsom. He just ran terrible, didn't he? So yeah, I'll stick with my magical each way, but I think it's a shrewd move in the race.
Yeah, we have got Peace Online. Just you touched on there, the record of fillies and mares in this race. It isn't great. I think the likes of Ouija Board, Snow Fairy, obviously the Bosra Shambles, they were all magnificent fillies and mares, all beaten in this. So it's not necessarily an easy task.
It's a race that's littered with history of shocks, isn't it? You know, you go down the years. I remember Hawk Bill winning it a few years ago when the Aidan O'Brien had a hot favourite in called the Gurkha. And they really fancied that. So it is a race that has history of shocks. Just that race at Royal Ascot, when Magical was its second to Crystal Ocean, I just thought that, you know, she ran really well, really, considering that Frankie was absolutely riding on top of his game. And I thought just took Ryan Moore to school in that race, you know. Mm. He was riding Crystal Ocean, the confirmed stayer. And Frankie just always had Ryan Moore in his pocket. He knew that once he kicked for home, he was on a confirmed stayer. And Ryan was always going to struggle to get him. And as Niall says, maybe the ground will suit her here. We'll see. I don't know. It's a really interesting race, isn't it?
It is. I can't wait for it. I'm sure many of us are all in the same boat there. But we may have covered Sandown. There's great action also from Haydock, so we're going to have a look at that just after this break.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday postcast. As promised, we're going to have a look at the action at Haydock now. The first race is the 205, the Bet365 handicap. This is over a mile and six. Royal Ascot form represented here in the shape of Sir Ron Priestley, who could only manage 13th of 16 in the King George V stakes there. So that's not terribly impressive. But, G-Rod, the betting suggests he can bounce back.
Yeah, he's ahead of the market here, although there's not a lot between him and the stablemate Mind the Crack of Mark Johnson's, and this could almost be the Mark Johnston handicap, couldn't it? I think he saddles four of the seven runners in this. And whenever there's a race like this, I always refer back to an old article written by a good friend of mine, my colleague James Pyman, that he did a couple of years ago that I sort of nudged him towards, because I'm a big fan of backing second strings. And well, sadly, I wasn't on Sovereign last week. That would have been a nice one. But there's been several of those.
He was fourth string, wasn't he?
He was, you know. But anyway, the Mark Johnston stakes. I got James Pyman to run me out some figures, you know, when Mark Johnston has more than sort of one runner in the race. And, the figures are amazing. I got them here, you know, in 1 mile, 2 furlong handicaps or further. You must take heed of the market, because in such races, his market first strings are yielding huge profits of £73.53 to £1 level stakes. That's 20% strike rate. That compares favourably to all of his other runners, who are showing massive losses of £33.50 and only striking at 5%. So, in other words, the market
whatever goes off
be
favor.
A very good guide to this race, with Mark Johnston having four runners in it. So I'll be very keen to see where the money goes on these Mark Johnston runners and which of his four comes out on top. And that makes it a really tough race for me to assess, because I think that the market will tell us which one. At the moment it's saying Sir Ron Priestley, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mind the Crack goes off favourite, and if so, that'll be the one that I'm on. It's worth saying that those stats are a couple of years old now, so you know they won't be exactly right, because there's bound to be some pedantic person out there who goes out and runs out different stats and said that's complete nonsense. Those stats are a couple of years old, but they're still perfectly valid.
Okay, I must admit I'm with you. I think Mind the Crack is sort of against what you were saying earlier. He has that more sexier profile, doesn't he, having won last time, and I think he'll improve for this step up in trips, so who knows, maybe he could go off favourite. Now, do you see that happening?
No, I think Sir Ron Priestley probably will favourite. Okay. He's currently a 3-1 favourite. Mind the Crack is 100-30. Arctic Fox 5. Summer Moon 11-2. Demaxican 11-2. Prefontaine 6. And Tidal Point is 16-1. Yeah, like I was saying, I think Sir Ron Priestley could actually be value here personally. I really fancy him at Royal Ascot, but I had a nagging doubt in my head about the ground, and I backed him anyway. And I'm willing to say that I think that's why he didn't run well at all. He may have gone too hard too from the front. This race, like as G-Rod was saying, Mark Johnston is 4 in it. Mind the Crack is unexposed. Arctic Fox looks exposed to me. Summer Moon looks exposed. The Max We Can looks exposed. Sir Ron Priestley definitely doesn't to me. He's obviously won at the track before. He's back on good to firm ground. And yeah, I think he'll win this. I think that 3-1 could actually be value.
Okay, quite a strong selection there then from Niall. Keith, what do you think?
First of all, my sympathies with Haydock, because they've laid on a 100 grand race for 3-year-olds and ended up with a 700-0-95, four of which are trained by Mark Johnson. And credit to Johnson, he never misses a trick with these races. But if I were an owner of a middle distance 3-year-old, I'd be wondering if my trainer was placing my horses to the best effect for me, because there must be 7 weeks or so from the Melrose Stakes. There must be more than seven horses that could run in this race. I think a few have missed the trick there, but Johnson never misses a trick, as we say. And I'm gonna raise you with your ostensible second string, and I think the ostensible third string might be the one here.
Okay.
Max Buchanan. I watched him when he was second to Durston, who was in this race originally, and looks extremely progressive. He won since at Chester very handily, and the Max Buchanan that day shaped like a really strong steer behind him. Either side of that, he's running good races. He ran in the Lingfield Derby trial, won by Anthony Van Dyke the time before, and his since running in the Queen's Vase. That's not very Johnson-like behaviour, to be honest. He normally runs them in the lowest company he can get away with, or these valuable handicaps. So the fact he has been run in better races is potentially promising for how he's regarded, and he looks like a horse that's going to thrive over staying trips. I think he's a really good bet at 11-2.
Okay. That's interesting. Let's quickly move on then to the 240, which is the Bet365 Lancashire Oaks, a Group 2 over a mile and a half for the 3-year-old plus fillies. Run us through the market here now, because I was quite surprised at the prices of one of these.
Dramatic Queen is our 5-2 favourite. Envy Heart, sorry, is joint 5-2 favourite. Classique, 3-1. High Garden, 9-2. Nialetti, 11-1. And Shailene is 18-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Keith and G-Rob would say, but there's probably not that much between quite a few of these. But I thought Classique on her Pinnacle Stakes win, that was really impressive. I thought she was a bit of a big price, Keith. I thought she'd be favourite.
Yeah, I mean, there's very different conditions now, isn't it? And
yep.
Haydock Heavies is a bit of a universe all unto itself. So obviously we're back at Haydock, but very different conditions. So the winning margin is the first thing you look at, and the fact that the conditions are different. I thought personally the best horse in this race is Embihar.
Okay.
She shaped like the best horse at York. She hung right across the track, ended up right across, and I would be suggesting that given how relatively light the race she is, that she would end up the best of these. It's a race that, as you can imagine, given the market you see in front of you, it's hard to form an extremely strong view, but I would be surprised if she didn't end up the highest rated of all these horses, and therefore would be the one I'd side with.
Okay, so you think she can reverse that form with Dramatic Queen. What about you, G-Rod?
Yeah, trappy little race, isn't it? You've got a bunch of horses that have all got sort of form that intertwines, really.
Yes.
Mbihar was hot favourite to beat Dramatic Queen last time. I thought went through the race like the best horse, really, Mbihar. Nice long striding filly, really does take the eye, you know, big, scopey type. But just outstayed, I thought, by Dramatic Queen. But obviously we're going dropping 2 furlongs in trip here. That was over a mile and six, and we're down to a mile and four. And I think that will swing the balance in favour of Mbihar over Dramatic Queen. And then Mbihar had met Classique on their previous run when Classique was favourite to beat Mbihar, and then Mbihar dished out a comfortable beating to Classique at Goodwood over a mile and a half. So they all kind of intertwine. There's probably not that much between them. I was just impressed enough with Classique last time out to think that she might be able to reverse the form with Mbihar from Goodwood. I was a massive fan of her dam, Char Char May D, she used to be trained by Sir Emery Cecil, and she liked a bit of dig in the ground. That's my only concern. Obviously, Classique's best form last time out was on testing. Will it be too quick for her? I hope not. I think she was okay.
She's run
the
well on it, hasn't she?
Yeah,
before?
She seemed all right, you know, on her previous starts on quick enough ground. And I just think she might have improved enough to reverse that form with Mbihar, but then I have said already that Mbihar's a massive sort of scopey, nice-looking filly, and she's also got potential. So it's that sort of race, you know, how do you weigh up three horses that are very, very closely matched, and probably either on their day, each one, whichever one's on their game will probably win. I don't fancy any of the rest, so it would be between the top three in the market for me, with preference for Classique over Mbihar.
Okay, lovely. What do you think, Niall?
I agree with you, Maddie. I actually think Classique should be clear favourite here, and I think she probably will be later. I know Mbihar beat her when they faced last time at Goodwood, though she just didn't really settle that day, and it was a very messy race. I think they went very slow, and Mbihar got an easy lead, so was well positioned. She bolted in last time at the track, and I know it was on bottomless ground, which is a small worry here. But yeah, I know what Graham was saying about Chacha MID, but yeah, she handled good the firm as well. As I've said already a couple of times, her stable are going really well, as is Danny Tutt over jockey. He's just riding out of his skin. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely the bet to me at the prices here. Like the Knights of Nialetti over a mile and a half, that definitely won't stay, so I can't give that any chance at all. So yeah, I'll just go with Classique.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention that, because that's an angle that a lot of people are going to be taking heed of now. Danny Tudhope and William Haggis, their strike weight together is absolutely ridiculous. Tudhope's been on fire, so hopefully they can have another winner in Classique. The 315 is the Bet365 Old Newton Cup handicap. One of these really nice handicaps to get stuck into. And I think one of the best pieces of handicap form we've seen is actually represented here in the shape of First 11's winning the Jorvik. That seems to have worked out really, really well. Run us through the prices. I mean, is he your favourite now?
Yeah, he's our 7-2 favourite. We're just on a note, we're paying out 5 place in this race instead of 4. Alan Muffery is our 9-2 second favourite. Infrastructure, it's currently reserve, is 8-1. Lucius Tiberius is 11-1. Aquarium 14-1. Charles Kingley 14-1. Melting Dew 14-1. And 16-1 bar.
Brilliant. Talk us through your approach in a race like this, Keith, because there's a lot that you could sort of argue a case for.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the most competitive handicaps of the year, and you have to take it. You have to approach a race like this knowing that you could have a perfectly good bet that ends up third. You know, you could end up with a horse that's well ahead of its mark, or a horse that's going to end up rated £10 higher, and you just run into potential pattern horses. And I think you've got to take the first two in the betting as potentially of that line. First 11 already has group form effectively, and then just take your chance on one sort of further down. The one whose profile I quite like for the price they've got, I wouldn't claim it's a stronger profile than maybe 3 or 4 others in the race, but I'm surprised Eddieston rocks as big as he is. He is a little bit lazy. I'd like to have seen maybe cheek pieces on him today, but the fact he's run well at Chester and Epsom, despite the fact he looks like he'd want a flatter, more galloping track, which Haydock will satisfy, even though, you know, he'd maybe rather he was at Newbury or Doncaster, but Haydock will do the job in that regard. And he's a horse that is probably going to be built for one of these big field handicaps. And as long as he's in the mood to lay up early on, I think he'll outrun those odds.
Yeah, First 11's got an awful lot of weight. So I was looking back through this, and one horse that I have had my eye on for quite a while, often these Aidan O'Brien horses who go elsewhere, you know, they don't achieve too much. But James Given, I think it is, who's got Indianapolis, I think he could pop up in one of these. Maybe not just this one, but he's got some really smart form. And he'd probably be a big price selection for me. What do you think, G-Rod?
Yeah, you see, I'm kind of hoping that everyone's going to take the same approach that, you know, you and Keith has, because this is what I was going to do as well. I was sort of looked at the race and I thought, right, First 11, it's quite a short price. It's got a lot of weight. Right, there's got to be something in here that's going to beat it in such a competitive race. And I'm hoping that quite a few other people will do that. And as a result, First 11 might drift out from his current odds of around sort of 3-1, 7-2. And you've seen it happen quite a lot in these big handicaps in the past. You know, sometimes they can go off sort of 11-2 and things like that, when the only real reason for the drift is that everyone sort of looks at the race and thinks, right,
let's try and get this beat.
This is too short, it's got a lot of weight, blah, blah, blah. So as a result, I'm going to hope that that happens with First 11 and that I get a nice SP about it, because I do think that First 11 is definitely a group horse. He will obviously need to be in order to win this off such a big weight, but I mean, his form to me stacks up really well. I remember that race at Royal Ascot last year, or Ascot it was, not Royal Ascot, when he beat Ghost Watch by 2 lengths. I mean, Ghost Watch went on to, you know, win the Noel Merler Stakes at Ascot, a listed race towards the end of the season. I thought First 11 was value for further than that victory. And then obviously he came out first time out, won that Jorvik at York. And as you say, I mean, that is one of the strongest piece of handicap form going this year. The second and third and fourth, I think, finished third, fourth and fifth behind Baghdad at Royal Ascot. The fifth Caliburn has come out and won since. I mean, that is absolutely red hot form.
If you look at Prashima, I mean, he ran a great race in the Northumberland Plate, didn't he?
Absolutely. You know, it is really strong race that Jorvik was, and he's only gone up £5, you know, so even though he has got a lot of weight, I don't think £5 is particularly you know, overly harsh on him given how strong that form is. So I'm going to stick with the favourite First 11, but I will be hoping he drifts to a slightly bigger price than that.
Yeah, that surprised me actually, you going for one of the favourites, but I do see your logic in that. you know, people get excited about these horses. They shorten, and then naturally on the day, there's only one way in which they can go, isn't it? Or he could just shorten even more, and I'll look a fool now. But we'll see.
When they get beat, which is even worse when that happens. But there you go.
Niall, who do you fancy?
I've kind of backed two at big prices here. Kind of the opposite of the G-Rod. I don't fancy the front two, first 11. It just looks a lot of weight in this type of race. And Al Muffrey can be very, very keen, so I'd be worried about the trip myself. The two I've backed is, one is Aquarium. Now, he looks exposed as well, but if you watch that race back at Royal Ascot that he ran in, he actually ran really, really well, picking up from an uncompromising position to finish a close enough seventh behind Baghdad. Mark Johnson has won three of the last six renewals, and some of them looked exposed as well. But you just can't really say that about Mark Johnson horses sometimes, even though I said it a few minutes ago about the three-year-olds and the handicap. Aquarium hasn't had many goes to the trip. The track should suit him well, and I think he'll go well each way. The other one is Bombix, who's just an interesting horse. Now, he doesn't look particularly well handicapped, but they've stuck a first-time visor on him. Now, they just keep backing him at bigger prices in really good races. Like, he went off 8-1 to beat Cross Counter at Goodwood last year, with DXB in second in that race. He finished a well-beaten third. And then they backed him at a big price in that Sandown race won by Regal Reality. So I'd imagine they think he's a lot better than 98 horse. And if the visor does the trick at 16-1, I think he could run well.
Yeah, two interesting ones there. Contrasting types. You've got Aquarium, who always seems to run his race. And then Bombix, who maybe he's not showing what he's totally capable of. Other racing on Saturday, we've got Chelmsford, Sandown, which we've covered already, Leicester, Nace, Beverley, Haydock again, which we've covered, and Bellewstown, Nottingham and Carlisle. Have we got any other fancies, Keith? I'll give you the first shout.
Yeah, it's a non-telly race at Sandown. It's one I quite fancy in the Coral Marathon.
I like one in this. Go for it.
Well, Falcon 8, I like. They're sticking cheap pieces on this thing, which is a siren so loud it could raise the dead as far as I'm concerned. This horse has only run four times. It's from the really good Moigler stud family, the one where he's a half-brother to Free Eagle and others that ended up really classy. He looks a little bit lazy. He was up to 2 miles from just his third start, which you wouldn't expect for a horse with his pedigree, but he keeps shaping like a horse that's got a smart level of ability. He made up ground, admittedly on sufferance, really takingly at Leopardstown when he was second on his reappearance, and now they've stuck headgear on him and given Frankie the ride. I think there's just a shade, I don't say this to tell him, there's just a shade of just wins about Falcon 8 to me.
Very interesting. A lot of people fancied him for the Gold Cup, didn't they? And then he was sort of taken out of that. So it will be interesting now he's coming over to Sandown to see if he can deliver the goods. The one I thought was quite interesting in that race, not necessarily for today, but I see Jack Finbar's back out. He's won at Sandown before, and I think he's a really interesting young stayer, maybe for one of the sort of later festivals. Maybe Goodwood could be aimed somewhere else, but he's a horse I like. I think you should keep him on side. Be interesting to see how he runs in the 4:45 at Sandown after a big absence. G-Rod, go to you next.
Just one for me in the 5:20 at Sandown. There's a horse there called Pempy, trained by Andrew Balding, who we were talking about earlier. This one come a cropper last time out when well fancied at Salisbury, but the ground was very testing. There was a lot of rain there that day. They were running all over the track. And I think the winner's quite useful anyway. Bella Vita is trained by Eve Johnson-Houghton. Pempy had previously been quite an impressive winner at that course on her previous start on good to firm ground. And I think the return to quick ground, she might bounce back to form Pempy in the 5:20 at Sandown.
Thanks very much. And finally, Niall, before we get your naps.
I was going to mention Falcon 8 as well, but Keith kind of went through everything there. The 5:20 Sandown, there's a really interesting horse called Shashenka. It's trained with Sylvester Kirk. Now, it was really eye-catching on debut on the all-weather and then went to Newbury in a maiden won by Starcatcher and finished a good second. It was then disappointing at Brighton, but the winner that race, Just Benjamin, has won twice since. She then won her maiden at Lingfield, beating a horse called Elena. She's been given a mark of 78, and considering Starcatcher went on to win the Ribblesdale, she looked very well handicapped to me. It's not the strongest race either.
Yeah, I did have a look at her. I must admit, she's certainly very interesting as well. Let's get those naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Niall, I'll go to you first this time.
I'll go 2:25 Sandown, Petrus.
Thank you. And Keith?
I would probably go with Falcon 8. What, have you priced that race up now?
No, I'd say he'll be around 5-4 if I had to guess, but not yet.
I was thinking sort of 13-8, 7-4. If in that case, probably the max we can at Haydock.
Okay, just the Falcon 8 race, that is just to refresh you, the 4:45 at Sandown. G-Rod?
Caspian Prince in the 1:50 at Sandown.
Caught you off guard a bit there, didn't we? Strongest fancies, Caspian Prince. Right, we'll take another quick break now before we have a rapid look at Sunday's action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
And welcome back to this final few moments of this Friday postcast. Sunday's racing comes from Air Limerick Market Raisin, and there's also international action in Deauville and Hamburg. Have you had a look at the action, G-Rod?
Yeah, obviously not one to blow my own trumpet, but last week we did have Peter Bowen as the trainer to follow, and
he had two
huge price winners at Cart Mill. And this week, I think Dan Skelton could be the man to follow at Market Raisin, where he saddles Value at Risk in the 4:20. He's very well handicapped on his best form. He's obviously been around forever, the sort of horse that I like.
Tricky one, though, isn't he?
People don't really like him because he's been around forever. Like you say, they think he's a bit of a thinker or whatever, but every horse has their level, as I always say, and I think that Value at Risk might have found his here. He is a course and distance winner. And then in the 4:50, another one for Dan Skelton, Mr. Universum, who's been in quite decent form, but his mark hasn't really suffered as a result. He's still nicely handicapped, and Dan Skelton's absolutely flying. So they're the two for me at Market Raisin. It's probably worth mentioning the Prix Jean Prat, isn't it? Deauville.
Of course, yeah.
Where we got our old favourite, Too Darn Hot, who cost me a fortune at Royal Ascot.
What do you think happened there then? Talk us through that.
I think that had the ground been quick, he would have won.
But you can't keep making excuses for these horses, can you? Why has he not delivered on that two-year-old promise yet?
No, he has been disappointing. There's no doubt about it. And to be fair, King of Comedy was unlucky, wasn't he? He probably should have won that race. But I just felt he came there to win his race and then he got bogged down on the ground. Now, he's going back down to 7 furlongs here.
Yeah, the race is now 7, isn't it?
John Goston is, obviously not sure if he... I don't know if he's not sure if he gets a mile, or he thinks he's more effective at shorter or whatever, or he's just trying whatever. But the ground is on the soft side at Deauville, apparently good to soft, so we'll see how that goes. That's a cracking little race, isn't it, with the likes of Space Blues in against him and Fox Champion, who's also run at Royal Ascot. I mean, that is going to be really exciting to watch. I wouldn't be punting in it, but it's worth mentioning just for the fact that Too Darn Hot is running, and I'd love to see him come back to his best.
Space Blues is one of my favourites, so I'd probably be backing him. But how did he not win that jersey? He just looked as if he was just going to pick them up and it was going to all happen for him, and he just got beaten by
another smart Space Traveller.
Looking at that race, I think a couple of us in the office were on him, and you just thought he was going to get there and it didn't happen. Keith, do you have a strong opinion on the Prix Jean Prat?
Not especially. I mean, Too Darn Hot, they're just rolling any dice with him now, is what my inclination is. I think the reason he's not done it this year is because he's probably despite all the pedigree in the background, he was more of a two-year-old. His stature gives you that idea, and what you've seen from him this year has done nothing to sort of dissuade that view, really. And it is, as you say, a really competitive race. I thought Fox Champion was one I'd be looking at as the one I would back if I was forced to, but I did spend a bit of time actually with the German Derby last night, and I saw the Union Renin, the big trial that they ran last time, that Lachario won from Django Freeman. Now, Django Freeman got a pretty ordinary ride in that race, and in these races in Germany, these group races, you want to be on the front because it's hard to make up ground. They tend to be done on slightly softer ground than you get here. So I thought that if the prices don't reflect that Django Freeman has got about a 50-50 chance of reversing that form, I'd be acting on it. And there was also a bit of a case for Quest the Moon, because French form will generally be better than German form, and his French form actually looks quite good. So that was a race I was interested in there. I'm interested to see how Value at Risk goes. Graham's right, he's the sort of horse that punters don't like him so much, because you can't tell what's going to happen with him until quite late. He's a horse that the market tends to know when he's going to run well. We say he's a bit of a funny horse, but I remember at Ayr in particular last year at the Scottish National meeting, he landed some nice bets by the looks of things. So he is a horse that I'll be watching that race in the run-up to the off on Sunday, because he has found the level now where he is. He's probably quite well handicapped again, and he's not the most straightforward. But, Market Raisin doesn't take much jumping, and it has been a bit of a downfall for him. So he's one that I'm not going to back right now, but I'll be watching the moors on him.
Okay. And finally, Niall, on Sunday, anything catch your eye?
Yeah, just to mention the pre-Jan Pratt, just the top of the market, Two Darn Hot's currently 5-4 and Space Blues is 9-2. I have a bit of a theory on Two Darn Hot. I just don't think he can go through the pain barrier anymore. He came there to win that race and just didn't seem to want it to me. The drop in trip seems like desperation to me, so I'm definitely going to back Space Blues each way here. I think that the nature of French races should really suit him. He's just got a lot of speed, so he'd be the one for me in that. I really fancy one at Ayr called Nicholas T. He ran really well during the week in a hot race at Hamilton, making up a lot of ground on the winner. I think it was Bayshore Freeway, off a very steady pace, getting an upgrade in the process. He has form at Ayr. He'll love the fast ground. I think off this mark, he'll win.
Brilliant. Thanks for all your selections, gents. Fingers crossed for a successful weekend of punting. If you enjoy these shows, as always, please remember to rate, review and subscribe. Hopefully, next time we see you, Enable will have won the Coral Eclipse. We'll certainly see about that. We'll see you next time.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.